From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Robert Siegel. Just over 5 months ago, the second Matrix movie, The Matrix Reloaded, opened at theaters across the country. And today, the third installment, The Matrix Revolutions, opens in theaters around the world. The expansion from a national to an international release pattern is partly a way of fighting piracy. This way, grainy videos shot in theaters won't show up overseas before the real movie does. Bob Mondello suspects there is another motive. It also means word of mouth won't get there first.
Remember when adults talked about metaphysical puzzles when they talked about The Matrix? How there was something in that first movie to figure out? Well, it was a little harder to spin Matrix Reloaded that way earlier this year, and if the Wachowski brothers have something tricky going on in The Matrix Revolutions, I'm afraid I missed it. This movie pretty much just wants to fight, something it declares repeatedly, if not always grammatically.
I'll just say this as simple as I can. If it's our time to die, it's our time. All I ask is, if we have to give our lives, we give him hell before we do!
Puts you in mind of that "we few, we happy few" speech in Henry V, doesn't it? The Wachowski brothers are not much for dialogue, but they had some nice visuals in their first movie, as well as a nifty basic concept, something to the effect that machines had taken over and were using human brains as a kind of plug-in power supply. Even if this was clearly inefficient, couldn't they just find batteries? It set up a nice conflict, and when the human resistance movement recruited a computer whiz named Neo to hack the Matrix code, that was kind of fun. In the second film, his hacking had made him a virtual Superman, and he got to smash a lot of virtual bad guys who had apparently found a virtual Xerox machine and started making copies of themselves. Alas, while Neo was fighting them, a whole lot of metal jellyfish were burrowing down to wipe out the resistance movement, and were expected to arrive in a few hours. In Matrix Revolutions, they arrive. Now, as soon as these metallic squiggly things get to the huge underground caverns where humanity is making its last stand, the folks designing the movie start to have a visual problem. Little squiggly things, when there are millions of them, become dots, a big cloud of dots. And even when there's lots of noise accompanying them, they're not very interesting to blow up, especially when blowing them up goes on for 20 or 30 minutes. Now, you may be asking yourself, where is Neo in all this? Well, turns out he's off doing his thing in a different digital studio where the guys in charge have apparently fallen in love with water effects. There's a lot of splashing and sloshing and squishing, and every once in a while the whole image blurps as if someone had dropped a rock into it and caused a ripple. That happens a couple of times when Neo gets a one-on-one with his nemesis, Agent Smith.
It ends tonight.
I know it does. I've seen it. That's why the rest of me is just going to enjoy the show, because we already know that I'm the one that beats you.
Sounds like the machines got into the dialogue file, doesn't it? Still, the effects are, well, splashy, I suppose, and pretty, if not terribly exciting, and the story does end, which is a relief. Not that the ending is satisfying or persuasive, but if the Wachowski brothers say they're done, I suspect no one who sees Matrix Revolutions is going to argue with them. I'm Bob Mondello.